Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, this is Father Tom Burke of the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh, and welcome to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. This show spotlights the important work of Catholic education in our Catholic schools and parish faith formation programs. Catholic Education Plus is brought to you by the generous supporters of Catholic education, including Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh in southwestern Pennsylvania. And this morning we are spotlighting new and innovative ways of teaching the Catholic faith in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. As parishes are coming together as part of the On Mission for the Church Alive, clergy and lay leaders are sharing ideas on how to help people form a deeper relationship with Jesus. And an interesting model is being tested right now in four parishes in the North Hills and the Beaver Valley, whose parents are helping to teach the faith to their own children. And I'm really excited. My guest this morning is Jason Gualdo, who is the Director of Faith Formation at St. John and Paul Parish in Franklin Park, Marshall Township, and Cindy DeShane, who is the Director of Faith Formation at Our Lady of Peace in Conway. Jason and Cindy, welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus.
Thanks for having us, Father.
Thank you.
And it's great to have you both with us this morning. And Jason, St. John and Paul and Our Lady of Peace are working with two other parishes in your grouping, Good Samaritan in Ambridge and St. John the Baptist in Baden, which I know all those parishes very well in my former assignment at St. James in Swickley. And the new grouping is offering a new classroom home CCD program where the catechists and parents both teach the faith to the young people. This sounds really exciting. Can you tell our listeners how this all works? Because this isn't the norm, so to speak.
Yeah, not your normal program. Mm-hmm. So basically, kids will come on site twice a month and meet by grade with catechists. We try to follow up each of those sessions with a session summary email so the parents know what's going on and give them some suggestions for how they can talk about those topics with their kids, projects they can do at home, videos they can watch together, that sort of thing. And then in the off weeks, we send out family-centered Bible studies.
Hmm.
That give them similar resources, videos to watch on those topics, suggested family discussions, ways of praying through that scripture together, and then some activities they can do together as a family.
So the whole concept is to get the families more involved,
yeah.
Not just, hey, I'm going to drop my kids off at CCD, I'll see you in an hour.
Yep.
This really gets the kids involved and the parents and the parish too. How did this begin, and are there any other parishes doing this in the Diocese of Pittsburgh?
This type of model, I don't know if there are any other parishes doing this exactly. There's other parishes doing parts of it, certainly. Really, it started for us at St. John and Paul. It started about 3 years ago. We started looking at all the research that's out there about how do kids learn and how is the faith best passed on, how do you incorporate parents in that process, and just trying to be responsive to the data that we have out there. So we kind of revamped our classroom model to make it a little more engaging. For the kids, we scaled it back to twice a month so that we would have some time to help form the catechists on those topics that they'll be teaching in those classes. And then the idea was eventually we're going to try to build in that at-home component.
Nice.
So as we started working with the DREs in our grouping, with Cindy and with Rose, we started putting our heads together with our seminary and interns as well. Dan D'Antonio was hugely instrumental in helping us pull together a lot of this stuff. And just tried to figure out what do we want this to look like at home, and how can we make it easy and appealing for families and fruitful as well.
And it's really great to hear that the parishes are already working together in the combined religious ed program. In my grouping, the Catholic Community of the East End, with St. Bede, St. Charles Lawanga, and also St. James and Wilkinsburg, we've combined into one program, and it's working out really good. Instead of saying let's keep it separate, well, no, let's start now, and it's up and running, and it's working out great. And this program, you have such a huge parish up there at St. John and Paul, and then with the others coming in, you increase your numbers. How do you make that all happen? Because that's a lot of traffic to to direct.
Yeah, we've got in our grouping, we probably have about 12 to 1,300 kids.
Wow.
Yes, we have a lot of dedicated volunteers that
volunteers really help it make it. You can't do it by yourself.
Not at all, no. And that's certainly why we're trying to come alongside parents too, because we're supposed to be helping them, and a lot of times traditionally we've sort of excluded parents and blame them for not helping. So.
Right. Now, Cindy, the Pittsburgh Catholic newspaper recently profiled one family in your parish at Our Lady of Peace in Conway involved in this program. It was a wonderful article. I had an opportunity to read it. And the mother who teaches her daughter and son at home said, "This approach makes me think more about the faith." And what are some other comments that you've heard parents share besides that article that was in the Pittsburgh Catholic?
So I've received actual thank you notes
from parents. Wow.
Thanking us for putting them in the Bible. We're trying to help teach the families to put Christ in the center and not be the afterthought, and putting the education back on the parents. And they seem, everyone seems to be enjoying it. It's a great family time for all the, for everybody.
So not only are the children learning, but the parents are learning too.
Yeah, you know? That was the thought behind what I wanted to accomplish, because last year we had a second grade parent, when they were sent makeup homework, she had to Google the answers.
Wow.
So I knew immediately we had to do something different with our program.
And say, so how, what are some other subjects that the families learn about in your program?
We've just got done doing a class on prayer, and that was like one whole session, the Bible. They did the commandments as one of their take-home lessons. We did Jesus, Son of God, is this week's lesson coming up. We have a phenomenal Advent lesson coming up here in a couple weeks that's going to be out of this world, where the kids will be actually visiting rooms where there's like live plays going on of the Annunciation, Joseph's dream,
that's
the Nativity.
Great.
So the kids are getting taught on so many different levels with all of the topics.
Yeah, now that we are in the season of Advent, Christmas is coming up in just a couple weeks, and then it'll be the new year. So, yeah, the watching and the waiting and preparing for the way of the Lord is, and I'm sure the kids are really excited to be prepared with that.
Yes.
Too. Now, Jason, why is it important for parents to be the primary teachers? The catechists, the religious ed coordinators, they are, you know, they're certified in their knowledge, but why do you think it's important that the parents are the first teachers of the faith to drop in on those kids?
Yeah, I always try to tell my parents that right, wrong, or indifferent, they are the primary educators of their kids.
Starts at home.
Yep, yeah. They are teaching their kids about the faith. Intentionally or unintentionally. So I try to get them thinking along those lines, because they're, you know, all the research shows the parents' religiosity is the biggest indicator of whether or not the kid is going to stick with the faith, whether the faith will be meaningful for them. So I think, you know, we're used to bemoaning in the church and pointing fingers at, you know, parents are the primary educators, but they're not doing their job. I think it's important to just recognize in every other facet in their lives, parents are more than willing to be involved with their kids. With sports, they'll step up and be the coach. Right. They'll work with the boosters. They'll do all that, because those are pretty clearly defined roles. They know they've got a reasonable chance of success. But when it comes to the faith, a lot of times they weren't catechized well themselves. That's our fault. That's not theirs. They're not comfortable engaging on that level. So if we give them a pretty clearly defined, easy process that's family-centered, we're finding, I think Cindy and I are both finding, that they're more than willing to do it, and they're thrilled to do it. Because they're learning a lot too.
And I think they probably, their eyes probably open up and say, wow, I do know the faith. It's just you kind of have to open it up.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the lamp under the bushel basket. You open it up and you have it in you. You just need to let it grow and shine. And as they read the lesson with their kid, then I think it probably naturally will come out and come back to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice too, because it's family centered. You know, it's one lesson for the whole family, regardless of the age level of the kids. So that's significantly easier on a parent. You don't have three kids with three different topics that you don't feel equipped to handle. You're all on the same page. You're all learning the same thing together. You've all got insight to bring to it, regardless of what level of catechesis you have, or, you know, how evangelized you are. And they've been loving that.
Now, Cindy, is there an opportunity for the parents to come together and just share each other's stories, like how they're do they help each other out, or learn from the parents learn from each other?
I do know that some parents have been leaning on each other, some that don't have access to the computers or understand it as well. You have the other moms that are stepping in and helping them make sure they get acclimated. The way that we end our program down in the Valley Churches is we gather all the kids at the end together, and the parents are all in there with us at the same time. Okay. And I hear a lot of the you know, conversation mm-hmm. going on with the parents. You know, did you get this? Did you get this? Oh, did you see that video? And they're sharing resources that they're coming upon as well.
So you're seeing it kind of is happening naturally, too, as mm-hmm. they combine and as the kids are sharing stories. So it's nice to see the parents develop friendships and yeah. kind of, oh, can you, I never thought of that, or that's a great idea. And they're kind of maybe leaning on each other and helping each other out naturally without you forcing it upon them.
Correct.
Yeah. How do both of you work together with such a large travel distance amongst from Franklin Park, Marshall Township down to the Valley? How is that working these last several months since the On Mission started back in October?
Yeah, I think we started over the summer. We got together for a while. It was once a week, and then it went back to once a month. But Cindy and I talk pretty regularly on the phone. Cindy and Rose have a very close working relationship to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of the new guy in the grouping here.
He's on my speed dial.
The bat phones are ringing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's good that you got ahead of the ball game over the summer. And that's what I found out, too, when I went to Point Breeze over the summer. I had an opportunity to bring in Wilkinsburg and the East End. And then that way it was just up and running by the fall. So at least you had a couple few months over the summer when things aren't as hectic as they are in the fall. And then, boom, get the program up and running. And so far, so good after a couple months up and running.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's better all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You learn and you grow, too. And I'm sure there's other groupings that are leaning on each other with the resources, too. And it's a work in progress, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's no smooth cookie-cutter approach to it, but you kind of perfect it. And as we come up on Christmas and then for the new year, then you start out for the spring and prepare for the other sacraments coming up. You kind of perfect it and grow. And then next year, build it and bigger and better things too.
Yeah, that's a lot of what our conversations are, is Cindy catches things as she's going through the materials and realizes we missed something or we doubled something up. So we kind of go back and revise it and make it better.
It's a work in progress, right?
It is a work in progress. Yeah.
And it sounds like it helps bring the parishes together too.
Yes, mm-hmm. it does.
That's the whole idea for On Mission for the Live. Well, Cindy and Jason, we'll take a break. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, the administrator of the Catholic community of the East End of Pittsburgh, which is the parishes of St. Bede and Point Breeze, St. Charles Lawanga in the East End, and St. James in Wilkinsburg. And this morning we are spotlighting new and innovative ways to teach the Catholic faith in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And this morning we have Jason Gualdo, who is the Director of Faith Formation at St. Sean and Paul Parish in Franklin Park, Marshall Township, and Cindy Duchesne, who is the Director of Faith Formation at Our Lady of Peace Parish in Conway, Beaver County. And Jason and Cindy, as we were talking over the break, I know both of you personally with our years going way back. And Cindy, your mom makes the best lady locks. How's she doing? Is she doing all right?
Sadly, my mother passed away a few years back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I still make
the recipe.
Locks.
Mom's recipe is back
in the recipe, learned. Yes.
Yeah. And so you passed that. She passed that tradition on to you.
Yes, she did.
And those are great lady locks. Hopefully, I can get some for Christmas.
For Christmas, yes.
Like I need more cookies. But Cindy, tell us a little bit about your faith journey. How did God lead you to this ministry of faith formation? It's such a wonderful gift. How did you get to where you are now?
So after, I've always been in the catechetical program ever since confirmation. So when I was 14 years old, I started as an aide in the CCD program up at St. Ferdinand.
Sure. Yep.
As an adult, I still stayed teaching CCD. I got involved in Boy Scouts. I, did the stay-at-home mom thing, but I volunteered everywhere. I entered the corporate world where I was quite happy, just traveling the world and working for a search consultant firm. And got to meet a lot of people, and I was offered the job at Our Lady of Peace, and I turned it down.
You turned it down. You said no.
I did say no, and I felt an instant unease with it. So 2 years later, when I was offered it the second time, I knew I was going to take it before I was even offered the job, and I never looked back. It was an instant peace. I know this is what I'm called to do. I know this is where I'm meant to be in life.
It was like a sign, right?
There was many signs.
You could run, but you couldn't hide. You know? And how many years have you been doing that?
I've been working for Our Lady of Peace for 8 years.
8 years already.
And I've been a volunteer there, though, for 20. So.
Wow. Yeah. And Jason, how did you get involved with Religious Ed?
Yeah, I got. I guess I first started out as a volunteer in high school with Vacation Bible School at my home parish, St. Malachy, and loved doing that. So, you know, kind of enjoyed faith formation from that standpoint. Spent a short bit of time in the seminary. Met my wife before I went into the seminary, so it made for a shorter stay.
I remember when you were in the seminary, yeah, way back when.
But I had a panic moment when I realized that I was going to leave, where I realized I'm going to have to do something to support myself and possibly a family. So, what is that going to be? And a priest friend of mine was hiring a DRE youth minister, and I thought, I want nothing to do with those heathen CCD kids. I'll do this for the youth ministry job, and I'll just tolerate that part of it. And found out that I loved it. And then just kept, you know, walking through the doors that the Lord opened for me. I ended up teaching high school religion for a few years. Moved to Youngstown for a while as a DRE and youth minister. Sold insurance in Pittsburgh for a little while until I stumbled upon St. John and Paul Parish. You know, I'd been selling insurance for a couple of years, but I knew my training was ministry. So I figured, well, I'll just see what's out there and apply for it and see what happens. And St. John and Paul was a really great fit.
So it sounds like both of you both had your own calling, so to speak, years ago, did the traveling and the journeys and the careers, and then how, isn't it neat how God calls us in our vocation? Like, I wanted to go into broadcasting and communications, never thought about priesthood, and then after college, working out in the corporate world, many moons ago, then entering the seminary, here I am, 17 years later. And for both of you, your backgrounds, and then it's just wonder how God calls people, whether if it's to the priesthood or religious life or to the lay ministry life, and then to have a piece to say, I'm making a difference, I'm utilizing my gifts and talents, especially to our youth. How would you respond to that, Cindy?
There's a definite peace when you're doing what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
I never have looked back.
Now, Cindy, your parish grouping with St. John and Paul, Our Lady of Peace, Good Samaritan, and St. John the Baptist in Baden, they're all working together. How is that going with the grouping?
So we actually started working together almost a year and a half ago when it was first announced. We did Discovering Christ together up at John and Paul, and it wasn't they did it and we joined. We had our people helping out with them. They welcomed, you know, leaders from down in the valley. We had kitchen help that went up and joined.
Very involved in that.
Wow. Yeah, I think we had almost half of the participants came from the valley up to there. Their senior connection, of course, they're a younger parish and we have the older population. So their senior connection up at John and Paul has been coming down and taking care of our seniors.
That's great.
And helping, I know of a couple widows who needed work done, and they come in and they do all the work and they leave and they've come back to do other jobs. So there's a lot of overlap. Our Greeters Ministry Hospitality Committee that, you know, the diocese just formed.
Yep.
We've meet as a group, and the John and Paul people helped us with the Greeters Ministry. So the Valley Churches all have a Greeters Ministry. And right now we're in the process of planning a church walk in the Christmas season with the four churches.
Great.
So there's a lot of bridges built between the four parishes, and people are walking across the bridges. So it's good.
And it seems like they're far away, but they're really not.
No.
Driving distance is not that far, and all the communities are connected, and some of the school districts overlap with each other. So most of the kids, a lot of the kids play together, sports together, and it kind of like neighbors coming together that used to be separate, but now it's kind of naturally happening together, blending
it.
And over the next couple of months, it will continue as we come up with Christmas and New Year's. Jason, On Mission for the Church Alive is not simply about just merging parishes and schools, but also moving from maintenance to mission, and not just taking care of buildings and focusing on the mission of church. What is it that mission, and how do you think everyone is called to be part of the On Mission process?
Yeah, I think our mission as a church is to try as best we can to welcome, love, and lead everyone we meet into a real relationship with Jesus. And that really starts with me. I got to make sure that my relationship with Jesus is healthy and thriving, so that I can help lead other folks into that. I also think that it's important to try to, you know, meet people where they are and make our programming per se fit their needs. where this hybrid model that we're working with now kind of meets those needs, right? We're trying to speak a language to a family rather than have them fit into our mold. We're trying to reach out to them and make faith formation happen in their own homes in a very non-threatening way.
And it's good to have new ideas, too. It's not just a stagnant, drop the kids off at CCD, a checkout for 45 minutes, and then I pick them up and I go home. This model is, it's nice you blend the traditional model plus the new way to get take it into the home. And look how we just talked about earlier in the show, how the parents are learning and sharing their faith. And those who feel maybe they weren't, you know, adequate enough in their catechesis, they're learning too. So it's a twofold that their kids are learning. And would you both of you reflect on how do you think that the families grow out of this or learn from this new hybrid model?
Yeah. Do you want to take that, Cindy?
You can go first.
Yeah. I think families are benefiting from it because, you know, traditionally we separate the family for formation.
Sure.
You know, we parents aren't involved in it. Kids are in different classrooms. This brings the whole family together, talking about the same topic. They're sharing their faith together. You know, we try to walk them through a process of reading a passage of scripture together and then just talking about what jumped out to them from that. So it's interesting for a family to see if the same word jumped out to everybody. Maybe God's actually saying something to our family right now.
It hits home and sounds like that. And Cindy, quickly?
Our biggest goal for this program with families is that we're helping to teach them to put Christ in the center. Mm. And our biggest hope is that the parents are no longer called the lost generation of the church.
Isn't that's the truth, right? Mm-hmm. That they are now being part of it, mm-hmm. and they're invested with it too. And as that saying says, a family that prays together, they stay together.
Yep.
I honestly believe that. So keep up the good work with this wonderful program, and hopefully other parishes can piggyback on that. So Jason Gualdo, the director at St. John and Paul, and Cindy Duchesne at Our Lady of Peace in Conway, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks a lot, Father.
We'll be back in a moment. This week in our Plus segment, we're featuring the Festival of Carols and Praise. Actually, this is this afternoon, Sunday, December 9th, from 2:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon. It will be held at St. Paul Cathedral in Oakland, which is located at 108 North Dithridge Street, not too far from the University of Pitt campus and Carnegie Mellon. It's the second annual Festival of Carols and Praise. If you were there last year, as I was, it was incredible. There's an overture with Advent and Christmas music, and we're going to have the Praise and Worship Band, the Holy Apostles Band, which is my home parish in Carrick, Overbrook, and Baldwin, and Bishop Zubik will be there too. He'll preside over that. So bring your family and your friends. Join the choirs around the Diocese of Pittsburgh in joyful song. There's going to be a light reception to follow downstairs in the chapel downstairs at the cathedral. So that's later on this afternoon, 2:30 to 4:30, St. Paul Cathedral, the Festival of Carols and Praise. Really get ready for Advent and Christmas. That's at St. Paul Cathedral this afternoon. I will plan on being there, so hopefully we'll see you there. The Festival of Carols of Praise at St. Paul Cathedral this afternoon. We'll see you there. Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus, and thanks again to our supporters, including Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. I'm Father Tom Burke. Join us again in 2 weeks at 6:30 right here on KDKA Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.